WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A woman protesting the Atlantic Coast Pipeline by riding her horse along the route nears the end of her journey. A lawyer for Justin Fairfax says an eyewitness can help clear the lieutenant governor of one of two accusations of sexual assault. And we talk with Trent Wagler of the Steel Wheels about what has become one of the most anticipated annual summer music events in the area, the Red Wing Roots Music Festival. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 11th. A woman protesting the Atlantic Coast Pipeline by riding her horse along the entire route is nearing the end of her journey. The Fayetteville Observer reports Sarah Murphy arrived this week in Cumberland County and expects to finish in the next week or so at the pipeline's end near Pembroke, North Carolina. 36-year-old Murphy has been riding two horses and traveling on foot since she left her home near Charlottesville in September. Construction of the 600-mile, $7 billion natural gas pipeline began last year and has faced numerous lawsuits and regulatory hurdles. The pipeline would run from the mountains of West Virginia to eastern Virginia and to Robeson County in North Carolina. A trial over the lawsuit against Charlottesville over the city's Confederate monuments will not require a jury. The Daily Progress reports that a judge removed from the case individual counselors involved in the 2017 vote to remove two Confederate statues. The city of Charlottesville and the council as a body, still defendants in the suit, have not requested a jury trial. The Monument Fund filed the lawsuit in March 2017, claiming that the city council violated state law that bans the removal of war memorials when it voted to remove the statue of Robert E. Lee and later one of Thomas Stonewall Jackson. In a letter to both parties last week, Judge Richard Moore wrote that he found the counselors are immune for their votes because they were not grossly negligent and did not make an unauthorized appropriation of funds. A lawyer for Justin Fairfax says there is an eyewitness who will help clear the lieutenant governor of one of two accusations of sexual assault, but the attorney is not disclosing many details, including the name of the alleged eyewitness. From partner station WCVE, Ben Pavier reports.
Meredith Watson and Justin Fairfax were students at Duke University in 2000. Fairfax said they had consensual sex. Watson says she was raped. Neither has publicly mentioned a third person before. But in a letter sent to prosecutors on Tuesday, Fairfax's lawyer says one of Fairfax's fraternity brothers saw Watson initiate the encounter. The alleged eyewitness told lawyers that Watson, quote, unambiguously manifested her consent. But the lawyer doesn't say how the fraternity brother can be so sure of that, or whether he himself participated. An attorney for Watson didn't address whether Watson remembers a third person. In a statement, Watson's lawyer called for a public hearing that included Fairfax and the alleged witness. Fairfax says that process is too political and has asked local prosecutors to investigate the two accusations against him.
Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Virginia has been named the number one state for business in CNBC's 13th annual poll released on Wednesday. WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
CNBC says its business coverage reaches 410 million homes worldwide.
Being ranked number one is great publicity for the state.
Chris Chimura is CEO and chief economist at Chimura Economics and Analytics. She says the state took the title in 2007, 2009, and 2011, but defense cutbacks made the top spot elusive until now.
The main reason for us moving up was the economy was improved, and also workforce is the area where we receive most of our points. And then another one where we ranked very highly, and we always do, is education.
Also contributing, Amazon's new headquarters going up in Northern Virginia and Virginia Tech's billion-dollar campus nearby. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
One of the bills some Virginia lawmakers hoped would be considered during this week's special session is what's called a red flag law. It's legislation that permits police and family members to get a court order to seize guns from someone who is a danger to themselves or others. But Republicans punted on that law and all new gun-related legislation. WCVE's Megan Pauley reports.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise for a point of personal privilege.
Delegate has the floor.
On the House floor, Democratic Delegate Rip Sullivan ran down a list of Republicans at the federal level who've announced support for red flag laws.
This legislation has been endorsed by the likes of Attorney General William Barr, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, Senator Marco Rubio, Vice President Mike Pence, and yes, President Donald Trump.
Trump's support came as a byproduct of his post-Parkland Commission on School Safety. The group urged states to pass red flag laws. Here's Sullivan again.
They've been passed on a bipartisan basis all across the country, and I'm hoping that we can do that here in Virginia.
17 states currently have red flag laws. Just this year, they were passed in Nevada, Hawaii, Colorado, and New York. Several others were adopted after the Parkland shooting in Florida, including some by GOP-led states. Gun control groups like Moms Demand Action hoped Virginia would be next. Amy Nyberger Miller visited lawmakers' offices. She says the issue is personal for her. She used to work with military families who lost loved ones to suicide.
And so often their stories involved a gun, and these families felt powerless, even though they knew that their loved ones were in trouble, that their loved ones needed help, and they knew their loved ones had firearms, and that they were threatening to hurt themselves.
Just down the hall, pro-gun advocates with the National Citizens Defense League huddled in and around lawmakers' offices.
It's very frightening for most gun owners.
That's Sean Callahan, who was running his finger down a checklist of other offices to stop by after meeting with Republican Senator Richard Stewart. His primary concern with the red flag law, what he views as a lack of due process. And even though a Senate Courts of Justice committee tried to rework the bill's language about when and under what circumstances police could get a search warrant, Callahan is still skeptical.
Yeah, none of that stuff is. It's just not. You know, the opportunity for laws like that to be misused are very high.
He says it could lead to false accusations. But the bill's sponsor, Delegate Sullivan, argues that wouldn't happen. He says someone who gives false testimony could be subject to up to a year in jail. Still, Republicans like Senator Richard Stewart aren't on board.
One of our most sacred protections under the Constitution is to be safe in our places and our person, and not to be subject to unreasonable searches and seizures. You give away that under a red flag law, and that's my concern about it.
Another Republican, Senator Ben Chafin, spoke about the importance of the legislation in January. But on Tuesday, he was quick to say he wouldn't support it, even with changes. He asked the Crime Commission to study it. Now, the bill will be going to the Crime Commission, along with every piece of legislation proposed during this special session. The commission will issue recommendations to lawmakers before they reconvene on November 18th, after general elections. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
Finally today, this weekend, it's the Red Wing Roots Music Festival, headlined and organized by Virginia's Steel Wheels. Trent Wagler from the band recently visited WMRA to talk with our program director, Chris Boros. Chris asked Trent to describe how the festival has changed since it started 7 years ago.
I mean, the first year, of course, is extremely memorable because everything was new. The anxiety in Camp Red Wing was high because you're selling people a dream, an idea that hadn't really been realized yet, and you weren't sure whether people were going to jump on board. I remember like the day of that we opened the gates the first Friday, and we were like, we need trash cans. Like, you know, I just remember, you know, somebody running to some box store or something and just getting a bunch of like cardboard trash, you know, receptacles, because we were like, oh no, we don't have. So certain things like that in the first year, that was like the feeling from behind the curtain, you know. So yeah, this year we have added on more campsites and then another new small stage. And so we have said from the very beginning that we had a vision of starting this festival in this location. We don't want to overdo it. Like we know there's something beautiful about this space. I'm excited to see how this year's changes will affect the festival.
But I'm just picking up on clues and I question our beginnings. If the future is a thing we choose, I'm just answering a calling. Feels just like I'm falling.
It must be awesome to be in a band successful enough that you have your own festival. I mean, there's not too many bands that do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a dream. Like, you know, I credit a lot of other people for helping facilitate us to even really take this endeavor and go for it. It's been amazing to see people who maybe this isn't or wasn't their favorite style of music even, but they've just sort of grabbed hold of this, and their family comes every year and they say, this is our festival. And I think seeing that has been all the more inspiring for the band to keep coming back and doing it.
'Cause every day we're in the rafters, falling till we find the floor, falling till we find the floor.
And on top of the festival, the first day of the festival, you have a new record coming
out. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
No, I know. We really put it all together this year. This is the first time we've done this. But yeah, we looked at it and we said, why not partner the biggest sort of show and weekend of our year with the biggest event of our year, which is releasing this record, and see what happens. See if we love it, see if we hate it. But it's exciting. I think it is fun because Red Wing is always a big party. And that's kind of what you're hoping for when you've put all of yourself into a project like we do with a new album. It's exciting to show up on Friday and just drop that record.
When you're on stage at Red Wing and it's the Steel Wheel set and you look out into the crowd and there are thousands of people listening to music you've written, What's that like?
It's transcendent. I mean, it's I think every year we go through this, that moment where you've got a sea of people, a lot of them are mouthing the words or singing along, and I tend to think in that moment, this is a lot larger than me or us. Like, that's what goes through my mind, is all of the work that it took to curate and make this moment happen. Every part of this festival has created this moment, and that goes to the sound people, and that goes to the people who brought in the stage, and it goes to the people who designed the logos and the people who volunteered their time to help put up fencing. All of that has created this sense of responsibility of, like, I want to perform with the best and most heartfelt energy that I possibly can in this moment, to give as much of what you're feeling from the crowd back to them, you know, and I think that is so much of what the performer audience relationship is this symbiotic kind of exchange where they're giving you all that energy, you try to give it back the best you can, and it just keeps feeding off of each other. Yeah, I think that's the only way I can think of to describe it.
Trent Wagler is from the Steel Wheels. Their new record, Over the Trees, comes out tomorrow, which is also the start of the Red Wing Roots Music Festival. Trent, thanks.
Thank you.
You should know that the Red Wing Roots Music Festival is a sponsor of programming on WMRA. To hear a longer version of this interview, visit WMRA.org or listen with the app. The festival is sold out for Friday and Saturday, but tickets do remain for Sunday. And WMRA's own Tina Owens, who hosts the Acoustic Cafe Saturday afternoons, also assisted with this story, so we're grateful to her. Hey, thank you for listening to the podcast. And I hope you enjoy your Thursday. I'm Bob Levicky.